We're giving away two scholarships to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Just invite your friends to attend the conference using Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or email, and send the text of your invitation and the number of friends you invited to contest@issuesetc.org. The listener with the most creative invitation and the most friend invites will receive a scholarship to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. We'll announce the winner on Friday, June 7th.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me of the God man who bore all the blame. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. When you preach the gospel, you shouldn't be ashamed.
See, this is the problem. When you think you can improve on what Jesus has given us, when a preacher gets it in his head that he can improve on what Jesus has given us, there's really no stopping him. Now, he always does it claiming that he has Jesus basically backing him in this. This is what Jesus would have wanted had Jesus stuck around long enough to see the church come to the point it has in history, or the world to get as bad as it has become at our point in history. All these kind of thoughts roll around in the head of probably every emergent church leader. The emergent church movement's been around, for a little bit more than a decade. It started as kind of innocent coffee house kind of conversational Christianity, and very quickly, very, very quickly, left Orthodox Christianity far behind. Its bright lights, Tony Jones and Doug Paget and others like that, all really pale to the luminescence of the grandfather of this movement, Brian McLaren, and he's still much in demand. He writes book. His latest book is called something like Why Jesus, Moses, Buddha, and someone else, I can't remember who else, walked across the road. He's talking about a new generation of religion, of spirituality in a post-spiritual age. You always got to stay on the cutting edge if you're an emergent church leader, and Brian McLaren is no exception. He recently preached a sermon last month, and it's a sermon on the Beatitudes, famous passages in Matthew's gospel, where Jesus says those familiar words, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are peacemakers, blessed are those who are persecuted. I paraphrase. What is an emergent church leader going to do with these passages? What is he going to preach when he preaches these passages? We're going to do a sermon review, and we use the same diagnostic with every sermon that we review here on Issues Etc. We ask three simple questions, and having asked those questions, we listen carefully. It helps us listen carefully to what the preacher's actually saying. Because sometimes when you listen to a sermon, you hear this preacher saying things that sound interesting or humorous or that you agree with, and you stop listening for the things you're supposed to listen for in Christian preaching. Jesus says that repentance and the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. That's what he tells his disciples. St. Paul says, far be it from me to glory in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. Woe unto me if I do not preach the gospel. Again and again and again in the New Testament from Jesus and the apostles, the need to preach the cross of Jesus Christ for sinners, repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Now, if you leave Orthodox Christianity behind, you might leave that behind too. We'll see with Brian McLaren's sermon. But you need to listen for these things, mostly to notice if they're there, and then to notice, of course, equally important, if they're not there. First part of the diagnostic, how often is Jesus mentioned? That is, keep a simple running tally on your bulletin, on the back of your hand, whatever you have, of how often you hear Jesus explicitly mentioned in the sermon. This doesn't tell you much, but it does tell you whether or not Jesus is in this sermon. And he's got to be in there, at the very least, mentioned in order for it to be a Christ-centered, cross-focused sermon. But it doesn't tell you whether it's Christ-centered, cross-focused yet. That's why there's the second part of the diagnostic, and that is Jesus the subject of the verbs? If Jesus is mentioned quite often, the next thing you should ask is he the subject of the verbs? Why go to the grammar? Well, the answer is simple. The way that we use language, we describe people doing things by subject and verb, right? If I say, I hit the ball, I'm the subject of that verb. I'm the one doing the hitting of the ball, right? So when you ask, is Jesus the subject of the verbs, not just grammar, you're saying, is this preacher telling me what Jesus does rather than what I do? Is Jesus simply being mentioned parenthetically, or are we actually hearing what Jesus has done or is doing or will do? Then, if Jesus is mentioned and he is the subject of the verbs, one more question is necessary. This is the tricky one. What are those verbs? You can often hear preachers talk about Jesus and what he's done, but what he's done is inspired you, set an example for you, given you rules to follow, and coached you through life, roots for you, helps you reach your potential, live your best life now, you name it. None of those verbs found in the New Testament. The New Testament verbs that we're listening for in a Christ-centered, cross-focused sermon are the Jesus who lives for you, obeys God for you, is your substitute, suffers, dies, rises again for you, gives to you the Holy Spirit, gives you the forgiveness of sins, grants to you eternal life, will raise you from the dead. Those are the New Testament verbs. So that's our diagnostic. How often is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? With that in hand, let's listen to this sermon preached last month by Emergent Church leader Brian McLaren, titled Getting Blessed.
So I was a pastor for 24 years. I planted a congregation, and I stayed there for 24 years. Only two groups have had patience to put up with me that long, my church and my family. And I faced a really interesting decision once my last Sunday came in 2006. You know, my life had been built like most of yours. I measured life on Sunday to Sunday, right? Here is the big question. Do I go to church when I'm not getting paid to go? And the flip side of that question is, why? I mean, there'd be a sense where you might go because you feel obligated to go and it's the right thing to do, but it didn't take too long and I felt like I needed it. And I was looking, I got to feel what it's like to be a person who needs church.
Now, this is a good place to start. Let's give him credit where credit is due. Because a lot of people will say, why do I have to go to church? Is it some kind of obligation? And he is right, at least at the very beginning here, in saying that the reason someone goes to church is because they need to go to church. It is not your need to fulfill some sort of obligation to God. It is a need that you have that only God can provide for, and he provides for it at church. Now, Brian McLaren may not say that, but at least insofar as he's gone so far, he's taken a step in the right direction. That doesn't guarantee he's going to keep going the right direction, but he's taken a step in the right direction that, at least for him, and sometimes with emergent church leaders, it never goes any farther than for me or for you because it's deeped and steeped in postmodernism. What's true for you is not necessarily true for anybody else in the universe. But he says for me, he decided he needed to go to church because he needed to go to church. Let's see where he goes next.
But I realized that what I needed and what I had been offering weren't always the same thing. The words from an old Pentecostal preacher who I'd met years before when I was first starting as a pastor, he said to me, he was a Scottish guy, he said, Brian, he said, just remember, bless the people. The people come to be blessed. You know, and I think he could tell that I was a teacher at heart and my goal was to educate the people, instruct the people, change the people. And he meant something in that word blessed, and I think he knew. For all of you, when people come this Sunday, they really want to come to be blessed, and a lot of times they have no idea what that means. Sometimes I think for us as pastors, we can experience a kind of terrorism, a kind of dictatorship of people's expectations of blessing. They come to church for all kinds of reasons. You've got some people who show up this Sunday who want to be told who to be outraged against for another week because their spiritual life is built on outrage.
Now, I want you to hold that thought. Because that's where he starts his list of why people come to church and how pastors get caught in what he calls the terrorism of people's expectations of blessing in church. But he starts with his typical whipping boy, which is churches where you go and they tell you all about those other people out there that you ought to be outraged at. Now, the reason I ask you to keep this one in mind is because this one is going to come back like irony on Brian McLaren in this sermon. And I want you to listen very carefully. He will, in the end, spend a lot of time telling his congregation there, his audience there, as he's preaching this sermon, who to be outraged about this week. He doesn't think he's doing it. It's classic pot calling the kettle black. He doesn't think he's doing this, but kind of the first major deadly sin that someone could commit in Brian McLaren's mind is a preacher telling his congregation who they ought to be outraged at. Those people out there, you need to think about those people out there and you need to consider how wicked they are, how wrong they are, whatever it may be. That's Brian's typical whipping boy. And boy howdy, by the end of this sermon, he has a list of people for his congregation listening there to this sermon. And they're outraged. They're all outraged. And he, without so many words, he comes out and says, you ought to be outraged by these kind of people, pointing them outside the church and not to themselves.
And they need to know who the enemy of the week is. You have other people who are coming with a broken heart. And they're coming. Blessing for them means they need some comfort. They need to be, they only have two questions in mind. Is there a God up there who cares about me and the mess that I'm in? And what is God going to do about it? There are people, when they come and they want to be blessed, they just need some hope and a reason to hang on. I remember there was a guy who came with a complaint to me about my preaching once, and he said, you know, at my last church, every week the pastor gave us a few Greek and Hebrew words. Based on your preaching, I don't even know if you know Greek and Hebrew. Some people come, and if you don't make them feel guilty, they don't feel blessed. And for them, Christianity is kind of a forgiveness racket. We make you feel guilty, and then we make you feel better. And if you haven't made them feel guilty, then they're just not sure why they got up that Sunday morning. What do we mean by blessed?
All right, we'll pick it up on the other side of the break. We're reviewing a sermon preached by Brian McLaren, Emergent Church leader, titled Getting Blessed. Do you notice how he described there? Preaching of law and gospel. He called it a forgiveness racket. These Emergent guys are great at mocking Orthodox Christianity. They love to do it in their sermons, telling you who to be outraged at. We'll be right back.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Do you struggle to reach out to friends or family members who have questions about Christianity? Well, we have just the resource for you. It's a new book titled What They Need to Hear, Sharing Christ with Family and Friends. It's written by regular guest Pastor Clement Preuss. What They Need to Hear is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. What They Need to Hear, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. The hymn, Jesus, Thy Boundless Love to Me, sung by the Contrai of Concordia Theological Seminary. It's playing right now on our 24/7 sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. You might notice if you listen for just a little while on Lutheran Public Radio, there's no talk. It's music only 24/7 at lutheranpublicradio.org. If you haven't listened before, listen tonight, lutheranpublicradio.org, and you'll notice no talk, just the church's music, sacred music throughout the centuries and according to the church year at lutheranpublicradio.org. We're reviewing a sermon preached last month by Emergent Church leader Brian McLaren titled Getting Blessed. He's working off of the Beatitudes, these passages in the fifth chapter of Matthew's Gospel where Jesus says, blessed are the poor, blessed are the peacemakers, etc. But first he's talking about why people come to church and what they expect out of church and what does it mean to get blessed. A little bit later, after our sermon review concludes, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will be our guest. We're going to talk to her about a new survey on the rise of female family breadwinners. That's the last 15 minutes of Issues, Etc. Well, when we last heard from Brian McLaren, he was mocking what I would call kind of the classical repentance and the forgiveness of sins preaching that Jesus talks about in Luke chapter 24, that that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name. He was mocking that by calling it a forgiveness racket that some people expect when they go to church. He's not done with his list of expectations that he wants to mock. I think the next one he wants to talk about is his take on what grace means.
So for me, for those 24 years I was a pastor, most of the time it was a joy and it was a delight. But I must admit, sometimes I felt a little bit dirty, like I was in the blessing business and I was there to help addicts get their blessing fixed. And I was there to meet the blessing expectations and to somehow rise to the mutually exclusive blessing tastes of a group of blessing connoisseurs. You know what I'm talking about? And at the end of the sermon, when people would come up and shake my hand, and they'd say, that was such nice sermon. You know, and you would just think, I'm not sure why. Have we really figured out why we're doing this? What does that word blessed mean? I think for a lot of people, sadly, it means favored by God in the sense that I want to be on the inside. It's so strange. We haven't worked this out. We can find Bible verses on each side. Some Bible verses say God is not a respecter of persons. God loves everybody. And other Bible verses seem to say that God has favorites. And so for an awful lot of people, blessing is to get into the favored group.
Did you hear that? That's that when he hears the word grace, the favor of God, what Brian, this is why a little theological education, because he's just a former English teacher, why a little, just a little theological education might help a preacher. Because when Scripture talks about the favor of God, it doesn't mean favorites to the exclusive of others. That's what Brian McLaren hears. But this is kind of typical of the emergent church. They like to mock everything that has been before. And you notice two phrases he used just a moment ago. We haven't figured this out. And do we really know why we're here? Now, if he's really a good emergent church leader, he will never answer that question because you can never give a straight answer to a straight question. Why are we here? Well, that answer will change every time we're here. It continues to emerge. A new answer, a new changing answer continues to emerge. But he's trying to pin something down. But so far, all he's done is mock historic Christianity. He's referred to people who come to church to receive the blessing of God, something that I think Christians ought to want, as blessing connoisseurs. Let's see if it gets any better.
Other people would be deeply offended by that idea of blessing. For other people, blessed means ecstatically, blissfully happy. I'm all for that whenever it can happen, but sometimes it doesn't. My suspicion is that in the best sense of the word, when we say someone is blessed and when we say bless you and when we seek blessing, what we mean is we want to be alive. We want to experience aliveness. We want to be in life the way life is supposed to be lived. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus in Matthew's gospel begins his most concentrated teaching, he starts by doing some level setting about who is blessed? I don't know if you've ever thought of this. I mean, this is one of those really practical questions I would never think of, but my wife thinks of. She says, how would all those people have all that free time to be out there with a picnic lunch listening to sermons hour after hour, day after day? Of course, some of you are your people back home are wondering, we won't go into that. But think about this. Unemployment in Palestine, in the West Bank, is something like 40 to 50%. In Gaza, it's something like 80%. If you went there to preach, there'd be a lot of people with free time. If you go to certain neighborhoods of Nashville, the unemployment rate, you know, is really high. I remember I was, right after the economic crash, I was in a poor neighborhood of Baltimore, and I was with an African-American pastor who said to me, yeah, when unemployment for white folks hits 10%, we have an economic meltdown. It hasn't been at 10% for the folks who live here for a long time. It's been up around 18. But if you're in a depressed place where people are being shoved out from their jobs, and in those days that meant their land, you had a lot of people with a lot of time who are in desperate need, and they show up when somebody comes with good news. And so when Jesus saw the crowds, he brings his disciples in a way up close. He really wants them to hear. And then the crowds are eavesdropping. And he says, will you read these words with me? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
All right, so there's the text that he wants to work from, or that he ostensibly has been working from. But he has set the table. He wants to define what it means to get blessed. But he has dismissed at the outset all of the, both right and wrong, every concept of what it means to get blessed that has existed in Christianity this point. It's not about having your sins forgiven. He's dismissed that as a forgiveness racket. It's not about receiving the favor of God, God's grace. He's dismissed that. He's mocked that as favoritism on the part of God. And he says, we can't even really figure that out anyway, because there are Bible passages on both sides, which in emergent speak means there is no answer I can make my own up. That's what that means. When you hear someone say, well, you know, there are Bible passages on both sides, you're probably listening to someone who's trying to tell you, and neither of them are right, I get to make up my own answer to that question, since I can't make the Bible agree on an answer. That classic emergent technique. But he set the table. After dismissing all of the other definitions of blessing, he wants to offer one of his own. And the way he set the table is by talking about the economy. You notice how he slipped that in? People who don't have jobs, people who have a lot of time because they don't have jobs. And we'll see where he's going with this, because he's got his own definition of blessing here.
Imagine being those Galilean peasants gathered around, hearing the tables turn on who is blessed. What kind of people matter in this alternative reality Jesus is proclaiming called the kingdom of God? Listen, folks, we're in a time of transition. We all are in the midst of packing our moving boxes. the church and the world and the ministry setting that many of us grew up for and were trained for, the denominational structures, the theological structures that we inherited, we're having to move. A lot of us wish we didn't. As my friend Phyllis Tickle says, we're having to have a bit of a rummage sale and decide what we put out at the sidewalk and what we put in the boxes and bring with us through the time of transition. And people come up to me all the time and they're worried that they're going to be forced to give up things that they love. Can we bring our pipe organ with us? Can we bring guaranteed appointments with us? You understand the kinds of questions we have. Which doctrines come? Isn't it strange? I never hear people ask, can we bring being poor in spirit with us?
All right, let's take a pause there. Again, kind of more of the typical whipping boys of the emergent movement. Really, these are actually the whipping boys of Christian liberalism. Starts with a pipe organ, of course. Nobody wants a pipe organ anymore. Doctrines, we can leave those behind. But he doesn't want to leave behind the poor in spirit part. And when he means poor, he means money. We'll be right back.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri. And Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We are giving away two scholarships to next week's Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference. Here's how you can enter to win one of those scholarships. Invite your friends to attend via email, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and send the text of your invitation to contest@issuesetc.org. And let's see, it's this coming Friday, I believe. We're going to be picking the listener with the most invites, that is, most friends invited to attend the conference, and the listener with the most creative invite to win a scholarship each to the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference. Send the number of friends and your invitation to contest@issuesetc.org, and the listener with the most friends and the best invite will get a scholarship to the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference. We'll announce the winner Friday, and the conference is coming up June the 14th and the 15th. You can find out more at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Remember, send your email to contest@issuesetc.org. We're reviewing a sermon preached last month by Emergent Church leader Brian McLaren titled Getting Blessed. I think passages like this one, blessed are the poor in spirit, are just like red meat to guys like Brian McLaren. They can't get past the word poor. He's already laid the foundation that we're really talking about here is not those who are poor in spirit, but those who are poor in money. So he's already departed significantly. And he is going to, here in a minute, I want you to listen carefully, give kind of today's version of the Beatitudes. And I want you to listen carefully to what he really thinks the problem is. And he departs significantly from Jesus' Beatitudes when he writes his own for the church today.
Can we bring mourning over injustice and suffering with us? Can we bring being persecuted with us? Isn't it odd that of the things we're worried about losing, we never worry about losing the Beatitudes? Strange to me, all around the country, every few years we have some preachers who get upset that we don't have the Ten Commandments in courthouses and classrooms. For crying out loud, why don't we be more concerned about getting the Beatitudes on a few walls in some classrooms? Shows you what you value when it comes time to move. It shows you, I think a lot of us would be happy to leave the Beatitudes behind. They just don't matter that much to us. But that seems like a pretty important thing to Jesus.
I want you to notice here, though, he's not talking about these people, not the people he's preaching to. It's the other people. It's always the people out there. Again, remember what he started with? He started with some people come to church because they want to be told who to be outraged at this week. And he's doing a great job of that, outraging his people about all those people out there, all those Christians out there who want the Ten Commandments but don't care about the Beatitudes. I don't know. I've never met a Christian who says, I don't care about the Beatitudes. I don't worry about the Beatitudes. I've never met one of these. Apparently, Brian McLaren runs in different circles than I do.
These statements of who is blessed are not just cute and heartwarming, but they will change the world. Maybe it becomes a little more clear if we imagine the opposite, because in some ways, these alternative Beatitudes are what our nation and our global economy run on. In our world, blessed are the rich and successful, for they'll consume more than their fair share. Blessed are those who laugh, they shall inherit amusement, which is probably one of the top currencies in our world today. Blessed are the aggressive, for they can look down on the defeated. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for status, for they will be full of themselves. Blessed are the bold and vengeful, for they will be feared. Blessed are the pleasure seekers. They'll see envy in the eyes of their neighbors. Blessed are those who launch preemptive attacks because they will be never bored or caught off guard. Blessed are those who persecute others for righteousness' sake. By the way, everyone who persecutes thinks they're doing it for righteousness' sake. For they have a great future in talk radio, religious or secular. Blessed are those are you and people honor you and flatter you and give you all kinds of extraordinary compensation on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great right now in the religious industrial complex, and in the same way they celebrated the inquisitors before you. You get the idea how that would play in today's world.
By the way, Brian McLaren is a great one for getting on a roll like this. So he's taken off the gloves, and now we know what he's really talking about. He's talking about social justice. He's talking about military injustice. He's talking about the economy. He's talking about discrimination. He's talking about all the social issues. He thinks he's discovered something new. I'm convinced of this, that he wrote a whole book called A More Generous Orthodoxy, where he thinks he's discovered something new. You read it. It's classic liberal Christianity. But he thinks he's discovered something new. He thinks he is mining some sort of a new way of thinking about Christianity. It is a 150-year-old liberation theology that reduces everything to terms of human justice, human relationships, politics. It is all that. And it's nothing new. He talks about leaving things behind. You know, worry about leaving behind certain doctrines, but no one ever worries about leaving behind the Beatitudes. I don't see Brian McLaren worrying about leaving behind the resurrection. He left that behind a couple books ago. You know, without the atonement and the resurrection, two doctrines which Brian McLaren has either denied or redefined to the point of making them absurd, without the atonement and the resurrection, the Beatitudes don't mean squat. They are just platitudes, just feel-good words from a guy that we have no more reason to listen to. If he isn't the savior of the world and raised from the dead, then we have reason to listen to Brian McLaren former English professor, with, yes, two honorary theological degrees, unearned. Why should we listen to him? But really, for that matter, why should we listen to Jesus, Brian McLaren's Jesus, about matters of social justice? I could listen to Che Guevara. I could listen to Gandhi. I could listen to anybody. They're just as good as Jesus. They're all dead, too, just like Brian McLaren believes Jesus is.
Brothers and sisters, we every single Sunday are in a contest of which vision of blessedness will reign and live in the hearts of our people. What in their box, at the center of their heart, is their treasured understanding of who really is blessed? And brothers and sisters, in today's world, it matters a great deal. What is at the deepest value center of our heart and our culture for who is blessed? It matters a great deal. Because if the rich and successful are seen as the blessed model of what we want to be, the independent people who don't need anybody and who have no obligations to anybody, then our world is going to go farther and farther in the same direction it is. But if people say, you know who's blessed in this world? Those who are either poor, that was Luke's version of this beatitude, or are poor in spirit, meaning they have a deep affinity with the poor. When they vote with the values of the poor in mind, not only their own. When they pray, they think about the people who are vulnerable, in need, and on the edge. Those are the people who are blessed. The world would be a different place depending on who we think is blessed.
Now, you got to remember with Brian McLaren, and he's made this quite clear in several of his books, Christianity, or his version, his latest iteration of Christianity, is not about salvation. It is not about Jesus dying on the cross to atone for sins. It is not about forgiveness. It is not about resurrection. It's not about the life to come in any sense whatsoever. He used to kind of play fast and loose on those issues. Now he's just kind of left them behind. Brian McLaren's latest iteration of Christianity is about the kingdom here and now. The reason he talks so much about social justice, the economy, voting, is because that's all that matters. Because this world is all we got. This is it. So you can understand why he has taken the Beatitudes that have been traditionally read to be, when they say poor in spirit, not people with a strong affinity for the poor. Where did he get that? When Jesus says poverty of spirit, he means you have nothing that God can use. You are a beggar before God, and God is there to fill you with the riches of his forgiveness and mercy and grace. Brian McLaren means that you sympathize with the poor and you vote differently, you pray differently. You see the difference between the two.
If those who mourn, whose hearts, as Parker Palmer so beautifully says, are not broken apart in sharp and dangerous shards of shrapnel and hate, but whose hearts are broken open in compassion, if that's our understanding of blessed, that will be a very, very different world in the future. If the aggressive are blessed, we know what our future will look like. If the meek are blessed, well, let's just put it this way. The birds of the air and the flowers of the field are hoping that the meek will inherit the earth and not the aggressive. If those who hunger and thirst for status are blessed, it will be a very different world than if the world is filled with people who their deepest desire is justice. If the bold and vengeful are blessed in our minds and in our hearts, they're the ones we envy, they're the ones we would like to be like, it will be a very different world. If the people who say, I want, my deepest concern is on the level of desire. I want my desires to be pure and good. I want to be driven by worthy and healthy, sane desire. I mean, every single day, folks, you preach on a Sunday, send people out Monday through Friday, and there are people spending hundreds of billions of dollars to mold their desires through advertising. It's what makes our world go around. And guess what? Purity of heart is not the goal of good advertising. And my goodness sakes, what a different world if every preacher was conspiring week after week to strengthen people's hearts toward being peacemakers, to people who love peace and work for peace and engage in preemptive nonviolence, preemptive reconciliation, preemptive peacemaking. Oh my goodness, what a different world.
So he's not done. We'll get back to the rest of the sermon in just a little bit. The Beatitudes for Brian McLaren is about this world and this world alone. It's not about hungering and thirsting for righteousness, that is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What does that matter? Jesus is just a guy who uttered these words. He says social justice is the goal here. It's just warmed over and very, very stale liberation theology. We'll be right back.
Athanasius, Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century, was known for boldly confessing Jesus Christ as both true God and true man. This is what we do at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C., continuing this historic confession of our Savior, who died for us and now comes to us in word and sacrament. If you live in the D.C. area or just visiting, come join us. For more information, find us on the web, St. Athanasius Lutheran Church.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
We're giving away two scholarships to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Just invite your friends to attend the conference using Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or email, and send the text of your invitation and the number of friends you invited to contest@issuesetc.org. The listener with the most creative invitation and the most friend invites will receive a scholarship to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. We'll announce the winner on Friday, June 7th.
You're 9 days away from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. Why do you listen? How has it helped you? What are your favorite topics? Who are your favorite guests? And what makes Issues Etc. unique? Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Issues Etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.
Can God save people any way he wants? Is Jesus the only way we know of? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, What God Cannot Do. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor John Fraser details his journey from the subjective introspection of decision theology to the objective saving work of Jesus. The online Issues Etc. journal. Next month, many congregations are going to begin a new fiscal year. These congregations are preparing their budgets right now. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. That would make your congregation part of the Issues Etc. 300. It's our congregational support program. You can find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 and how your congregation can join or renew. Issuesetc.org, click support. There's a one-page flyer. Print it off. Take it to your congregation. Ask them to join or renew their membership in the Issues Etc. 300. Reviewing a sermon preached last month by Emergent Church leader Brian McLaren titled Getting Blessed. He's based it very loosely on the Beatitudes. He has decided that when it says poor, it means poor. And that's it. It just means people who have no money or resources. And his Kingdom Now theology, this warmed over liberation theology, it's about God favoring the poor, God blessing the poor, and disfavoring and cursing the rich, is running on all six cylinders in this sermon so far. He's only got a few minutes left. We'll listen to the entire sermon in this sermon review. Remember, if you've been following our diagnostic, we're listening for how often Jesus is mentioned. A couple times here and there. He gets credit as the author or the originator of these wise words that Brian McLaren has so cleverly reinterpreted, but not much more, really. In terms of what Jesus has done, we're really only dealing with Jesus who said these words. That's it. Not much more. At least not so far. We'll see. I guess he could come out of this tailspin, even at this late last moment in the sermon. Let's pick it up where we left off.
What a different world. If we built in people a desire to stand with the persecuted rather than to stand with the persecutors. What a different world. If we had deeply formed desires that drew us not toward being honored and flattered and just having more security, but toward joining in this prophetic mission of the living God. You see, Jesus, from the start of the Sermon on the Mount, knows that the kingdom of God is built on an ethos, on a sense of identity. And that ethos is built all around what we consider a blessed life. And our ethos determines our ethics. And our ethics determines our future. So who is blessed in our minds and hearts and in the hearts and minds of our people? That is a really, really big question. And it's the question you'll face this Sunday. Very seldom do we get it out on the table. But the truth is, there's a contest for different understandings of blessedness. And you, brothers and sisters, I hope, can be agents joining Jesus and building a new vision of blessedness in our world.
Now, he's got this idea, but Jesus said these are marching orders. Jesus gave us these marching orders. He understood what the kingdom of God was all about. You notice he builds it at what Brian McLaren is calling for is a different world. How different the world would be if we reoriented our ethos in the direction of this ancient prophet, this ancient wise man, this ancient, long dead and forgotten by so many, good guy who once long ago uttered to the poor, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Let's just follow Jesus' teaching, is what he's saying. And that's how Jesus is building the kingdom of God today, on this ethos. He wants a different world. Brian McLaren wants a different world. Jesus got something better than a different world, by the way. We'll talk about that in a minute.
What an amazing calling. Amen? We gave you a little business card when you walked in that has the Beatitudes on it, and that's something I hope that you will put in your wallet, wherever you keep your cards, as a reminder to you that you're in the blessing business. But not in the business of meeting other people's definition of what blessing is about, but of joining Jesus Christ in the redefining and opening the old box and in discovering a new treasure of what it means to be blessed. Amen? I'd like you to join me in giving a benediction to one another. Could we stand together, please? And so we're basically going to take this half of the room, and I'm going to ask you each time to say, "May the Lord bless you." Let's practice. May the Lord bless you. And then this side, you will echo back with these specific blessings one by one. Let's make this our benediction that we will share in together. May the Lord bless you with poverty of spirit.
May the Lord bless you with the heart that is broken over. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Be seated, please.
All right, that's the sermon and what his peculiar benediction. You know that there is no blessing in the Beatitudes, because that's what it means, the blesseds. There is no blessing in the Beatitudes whatsoever, in spite of their benediction there to one another. There is no blessing in the Beatitudes if the man who spoke them hasn't conquered death in his death. If the man who spoke them first has not been raised from the dead. If the man who spoke them has not, through that death and resurrection, given to you and to the whole world the forgiveness of sins. They're just words. If the man who spoke them hasn't done all that. And he's just another man, too. Brian McLaren wants a different world. He's dreaming of a different world based on, built on the ethos of the Beatitudes. Jesus, on the other hand, promises not a different world, but a new world. A world recreated from his crucified and risen flesh. And you take Jesus out of this sermon. Anytime you can take Jesus out of a sermon and it still makes sense, there's something seriously wrong with the sermon. And of course, had Gandhi preached this sermon, or had he been quoting Gandhi about who are truly blessed, it would have made just as much sense, right? Had he been quoting any other great leader of social justice, Martin Luther King Jr., in this sermon about who are truly blessed, it would have made just as much sense. It's not so much, at least according to our diagnostic, that Jesus didn't get mentioned in this sermon. He got mentioned a few times. It's not even really that he wasn't the subject of the verbs or that he got the verbs wrong. The real problem with this sermon is that Jesus didn't even need to be mentioned. The sermon still holds together perfectly, as terrible as it is, without Jesus. You could have substituted Gandhi or Martin Luther King Jr. or Che Guevara, or, for that matter, just Brian McLaren. And it still would have made just as much sense. Jesus has not come to build a different world based upon the ethos of the Beatitudes. He has come to give us a new world through his death and resurrection and the salvation that that has worked for us and the whole world. We'll be right back talking with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse about female breadwinners.
Somebody find me a preacher.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.